tonight, I have a few words. I'm going to write them on the board, and I hope that you would write them down, underline them. The first word can be found in the title, the Son being the embodiment. Underline that, and you can write it down, and you can bold it again if you want. It's already bolded. The Son being the embodiment of the triune God. So tonight, just so you know, we're going to cover two outlines, outline three and outline four. I'm going to take a few minutes to take care of outline three, and then Brother Dennis will follow, and he'll take care of outline four. So, embodiment. This may be a new word to some. One of my favorite books besides the Bible and besides, you know, ministry that helps to open up the Bible is the dictionary. That's one of the great things that I love. I love when I even spend time with the Lord in the morning. Sometimes I look up words like of or in. I don't know if you've ever done this. It's like we all know what it means, but sometimes you get a new impression, you know, that God is in man. What does it mean to be in? So I would encourage you sometimes read the Bible with your dictionary. Look up words that you're familiar with. Verses, they just come alive. You see them in ways that you've never seen before. Even the most simple words. So I encourage you. One of the words I looked up today, I was driving here, and this word through. I was like, yeah, I know what through means. And I eventually look it up, and it says into and out of. I won't tell you what I was experiencing, but I thought, wow, that is awesome. I've never seen the word through like that. So anyways, it's a little, tangent, kind of parenthetical. I encourage you, use a dictionary. Okay, so embodiment. There's a couple definitions. One, it says to give something a human form or to personify. Another thing is to make visible or to make tangible. An idea or a thought becoming a visible or a tangible form. This is what embodiment is. And so the Son is the embodiment of the triune God. There's a lot of depth to this, but we're going to just touch on a little bit. But I hope we would really be impressed. You know, one verse that we should all know. Okay, who here knows what the earliest verse in the Bible is? Job? Wait, someone said it. What is it? Say it again. No. John 1:1. John 1:1. It says, in the beginning. The beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This verse, if you know this verse, in some false Bibles, you can't even call them a Bible, this verse is twisted. They change one word, you know, the Word was a God. But I hope you would know this verse. You would guard this verse in your heart. This is so precious. In the beginning was the Word. Can you believe this was in the beginning? Isn't that awesome? For us, there's a lot to it, but this is, to us, is our way to enjoy all that the triune God is. Everything that our brother has shared so far that we'll hear, it all comes from this. This is in the beginning. This is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
The Word was God, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was
God.
Okay. It's a deep verse. But the Son, right? The Son being the embodiment. The triune God, I think this shows up in Roman numeral 2, but this word mystery. Okay, I'm painting a little picture and then we'll go through the outline. But the triune God, you know, if I even asked one of these brothers, I think we all regard, explain to me the triune God, how he's three yet one. Yeah, they could tell us a lot in their experience. I bet they would speak more regarding their experience than they could be like, well, this is exactly, you know, it's a mystery. It's a mystery, okay? I'm sorry, I'm not going to explain to you the triune God, but I'm going to tell you what the Word says. And the Word tells us that the Son is the embodiment of God, okay? It's very important. Makes the triune God tangible, right? So we need the Bible, right? We need the word. Okay, so this leads me on to, I think, the burden, and I hope you would keep these three words and apply them this whole week, okay? Fact, faith, and experience. All right. Facts, you know, not theories, facts. Okay, something that's theoretical, it's still up for debate. It is a fact that I am standing here right now, right? Is that a fact? I wasn't feeling so great recently, so it was theoretically possible that I wouldn't be here. But factually, I am here, right? Nothing can change that. It's a fact, okay? And then there's faith and experience. So I'm going to give you a little illustration. You know, I work for a living. You know, I get a paycheck, and I've been saving. So there's a fact that every month, the beginning of the month, I get a certain amount of money deposited into my bank account. That's a fact, right? I hold a job, I make some money, I live off of that. Okay. But, you know, what good does it do me if I just only ever have money sitting in the bank, right? There's no experience of that. So what do I need to do? Well, maybe an old example would be like I give you a check and then you go cash it. Well, you know, maybe I'll use an ATM, okay? You go to an ATM and by faith, I swipe my card, punch in my PIN, and then by faith, I can withdraw money, right? So it was a fact that I had money in the bank account, but then by faith, I withdraw money. So now I have money in my hand. I have cash in my hands, but I still really haven't experienced it. Only when I go and spend it, right? So I've been saving up, and a good buddy of mine that I grew up with, he just moved to Colorado, and I love hiking. And he moved to Fort Collins, which is about an hour from the Rocky Mountains. And I've always wanted to go to the Rockies. My dad went there when he was a kid. He would tell me about it. And so what I did, I said, it's time to experience some of this money that I've been saving up, right? So I flew there, and we went hiking, and we went whitewater rafting. And I had to spend a little bit. But man, was that experience good, right? But in order to experience the fact, right, there was something that had to happen in between. And by faith, I had to withdraw that money. You know, sometimes people go to withdraw and no money comes out because they don't know the facts. They don't know the facts that actually they don't have any money. Okay. So it's important. You know, I was highlighting John 1:1. Why was I always highlighting this? Because our experience comes from the facts. Yes, the triune God is a mystery. And you could take this word and you could say, well, it's a mystery. I can't really ever understand it. And so you just kind of let yourself go. And yeah, you can let yourself off the hook a little bit. But I would encourage you, you all are very bright. Yes, we need to use our spirit, but also use your mind. Pick up these verses, what Jeremiah said. I bet he was surprised that he even remembered that verse, but at one point he took the opportunity to get it into him. And guess what? The Lord was able to use that. So let's pick up the facts. And when we pick up the facts in the word, when we pick up the facts about the triune God, Ben, what we then need to do is, you know what? The Lord needs our cooperation. And that's faith. That's our application. So when that's, yes, Lord, I believe the word was God. And I would say, I believe that the word is God. It has not changed. When I do that, that's faith. And then it gives opportunity to experience this fact, okay? So when we hear these things, never think it's too much. Because really what happens at a point in your life The Lord wants to come, and he's got this truth in you, Joseph. And he comes, and he just wants to lay hold of it in you and bring you into that experience. Just remember that. Okay, you're just building up a storehouse. Like me, when I wanted to go on vacation, I had to build up some finances. I had to build up the facts so that eventually, when I wanted to experience, the experience could be there. But if my buddy's like, yeah, come to Colorado, and I don't have any money, how can I go? Right. If someone's like, lead me to the Lord, but you don't know anything, how are you going to lead them to the Lord? You know, may the Lord cover you and fill up that lack. But I just hope we would pick this up. I don't mean to belabor this, but I just want to encourage you. Take the opportunity. Get the word into you now. Get these outline points into you now. Those five words that our brother gave us. It's not a small thing. Just to take that time and study it and get it in. Because the Lord will come and he'll encourage you and bring you into these experiences. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Okay. So facts, faith, and experience. The facts. This is what God has given. This is who he is. This is what he's done. Faith. This is our believing. And actually, the Lord even provides that. Amen. Guess where we get faith from? Say it louder. The word. He even supplies our faith. I don't have faith. He even supplies that, but he needs our faith. He needs our cooperation so that we can experience all that he is, all that he has, okay? So all of this is contained in the word. All of this is contained in the word. Let's say, thank you, Lord, for the word.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I love your word. All right. All right, I'm going to read the first Roman numeral. The Son is even the triune God. The Bible clearly, I love this word, clearly reveals to us that even though he is the Son of God, he is God himself. That first verse, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, the Word was there in the beginning. The Word was with God. Yep, that makes sense. The Word was God? I thought it was two different things. It's a mystery. But we amen the Word of God. That's where our faith comes into play. You know, if you only ever stay up in your mind, you'll never get it. But guess what? When we apply faith, ultimately, it's for our experience. There's nothing here about understanding. It's all about faith and for us to experience. Yes, we want to understand and comprehend, but ultimately, all that's in the word is for our experience. All right? I don't see the word understand up there as the final point. Experience. How about we say, Lord, I want to experience you. No, 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 no. All together. Lord, I want to experience you.
Lord,
I want to experience the triune God. All right. You know, and so actually I was reading these verses in John, and there's another one. John, in John 14, 9 through 10, you know, I've been considering these words. And these verses kind of came up, and it says, I'll just flip to it really quick. I actually have it right here. Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, meaning Jesus, has seen the Father. How is it that you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who abides in me does his works. Father's in me, you know, I'm not speaking for myself. It's very clear, right? But Philip doesn't get it. But if you jump to the end of John 20, 28, I just thought this was really cool. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord! My God, right? When he was speaking to the disciples, they didn't realize that Jesus was God or Jesus was the Father as well. It's really mysterious. They didn't get it. But guess what? Thomas gets it here. Because what does he say to Jesus? He doesn't say, who are you? But he praises him. You got to love punctuation in the Bible. I was really bad at grammar, but I love a good exclamation point. You know, I think, yeah. My Lord, my God. You can't read the Bible without proper punctuation. You know, a comma, you know, a question mark. I love questions. But an exclamation point. He's praising the Lord. He heard the facts. Something happened and he believed. And guess what? He was brought into the experience. Yeah. He really saw that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Father. Okay. You want to see it a little more clearly? Isaiah 9:6. Okay. Underline this verse. Underline, highlight. And I just encourage you, you know, for a while, this was my Bible. I didn't take any notes in it. And eventually I was like, I took notes in other Bibles. And I was like, I just can't do it anymore. I was like, I got to write in my Bible. You know, it's just when you find something good and you write it on a piece of paper, but it's awesome when you just write in your Bible and you get to come back and you're like, whoa, I saw something. So I just encourage you. Okay. And I'm going to read from my Bible. It's slowing me down a little bit, but it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and his name will be called Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. A son is given to us? His name will be called Eternal Father? Explain that. It's a mystery. But guess what? It's for our experience. You know what's a good way to help us experience? You guys are using the word amen. Let's all say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm gonna read these portions, and I want a good amen, because this is your application, this is your cooperation of faith, because the Lord wants to bring us into this experience tonight. I don't know what that looks like for you. Let's see. For a child is born to us,
amen.
A son is given to us,
amen.
And his name,
amen.
His name,
amen.
Will be called,
amen.
Wonderful. Counselor,
amen.
Mighty God,
amen.
Eternal Father,
amen.
Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, I just love the word.
Yeah.
We're enjoying the embodiment of the triune God right now.
Amen.
I think we're being brought into the experience a little bit.
Amen.
You know, so this is good, right? We can see the word, the son, he's God. He's the Father. Right? And even we can see people's experience of this in the Bible. Don't you want to have that kind of experience where it's not like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. But I want an exclamation mark experience. I want a Thomas experience where, my Lord, my God. And I guarantee, if you ask the Lord this, he would be more than happy to give it to you. Right? Lord, give me an exclamation point experience of you. Okay, Roman numeral 3. I'm hitting some points, but I hope that you'd be encouraged. You know, I'll just say something at the end. The Bible tells us that the Son is born of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is good. His source was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit entered and the Son came out. The Son came out. Anyways, I was speaking to my phone as I was driving, and it was dictating as S-U-N, you know, the sun came out. And I was just like, yeah, that's right, Lord, you're just full of light. Amen. The sun came out. When the Spirit enters in, the sun comes out, you know. But, you know, this is an awesome point. It never dawned on me before. Okay. God is three and he's one. Okay. The Son is not separate from the Spirit, and the Spirit is not separate from the Father, and the Father is not separate from the Son. Okay. How could someone argue with you, Ryerson, and say, hey, the Spirit came into Mary, and out came the Son? Like, and they'd say, well, they're different things. But that's not how God works. Really, what that just shows is God came in, and God came out, right? But what came out was the embodiment, was the visible, tangible form of God. Isn't that cool? right? The Holy Spirit came into Mary, right? And Jesus was conceived within. And what was born as a man, yet God, was Jesus, still fully God. It's a mystery, okay? Sorry, I'm not giving you any answers tonight. I'm just like leading you to another question, you know. Good thing you guys got like Daniel and, you know, Pablo in your group, and, you know, you can always reel Shepherd in and they can, but, you know, I'm just giving you a lot more questions. I want you to be impressed with this, is that today we experience the Lord as the Spirit, okay? We experience, you know, he's the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. That's another super important verse. 1 Corinthians 15:45. I want to see pens moving. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Okay. I'm seeing most pens. I'm going to say one more time. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. All right. I'm going to say it, and I'm looking for the magic word. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. There we go. Okay. This is so good. Christ, the last Adam, there's a lot of significance there, but Christ, the last Adam, the Son of God, became a life-giving spirit. Today, I'm not enjoying somebody that's flesh and blood. I'm enjoying him as the Spirit. But guess what expression comes out, Lily, when I'm enjoying the Spirit? Christ, the Son, right? The Spirit comes in, but what comes out? Right? It's just another experience of the triune God, okay? So just look at these verses in your groups. I would encourage you. I'm just going to leave you with three verses. John 1:1. I encourage you tomorrow, spend some time, pray over this. Take one of these verses. Isaiah 9:6, right? It's, man, there's some good words in that verse. John 20:28. And then I'd also say, what was the one I just used? Oh, 1 Corinthians 15:45. You know, these are really awesome. There's a lot to be said here. But I, you know, maybe I haven't done a good enough job presenting all, you know, the Son being the Father. But I hope that I would leave you with this impression, that you would pick up the facts. Right? Read the word. I was just sharing with the brothers. Anyways, there was a certain point in my life. I was older than you all, and I was just finally learning to spend time with the Lord. I was just learning to sing. And I'm thankful for where I am now, but I just wish I started earlier. I just wish I started singing earlier, reading my Bible consistently earlier, because I just feel like the Lord could have done a little more. But start with the facts. It's okay. If you're not getting, you know, exclamation point experiences every day, that's okay. But you can still ask for it. And I believe the Lord will give it to you. Yeah. And what do? We exercise our spirit. What does it mean to exercise your spirit when you come to the word? You know, amen. It says his name. He is the amen. The name of the Lord is the amen, right? He's the one that supplies us faith. So why am I encouraging you to say amen? Yeah, I'm loud. Okay, I think we can all, but what is good, there's a verse that I just read today, and it's 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believed, therefore I spoke. Amen. We believe, therefore we speak. That's what the verse said. That's awesome. When we say amen, something in us stirs up, and we can't help but speak. So that's why we say amen to the word. And when we do, we're applying faith, and guess what's going to happen, Vedans? What? Just experience. Sorry, but it's good. Don't read your Bible silently. Ultimately, I'm just coming back to the word, right? This is where all of this is contained. So amen, the word of God, right? Amen, the facts. This is our application. This is our faith. This is our cooperation. This is our cashing of the check. Right? So that we can ultimately experience what's in the word. So that we can be excited about the word, you know? All right. I'm gonna stop here, Brother Dust. I'm gonna hand it over to you. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you.
That's yours. I'm taking his word.
Well, praise the Lord. Very good. We have the fact, and then whoops, and I almost broke the fact here. We have the fact, faith, and experience. Very good. Turn to your outline number 4. We're covering 2 outlines tonight, and this one is outline number 4. On page 8, you have it? Let's read the outline title together. Go ahead. So this morning we started on the triune God, God being triune. He's one, right? And who can, let's do those five words our brother gave us. First of all was one, purpose, light, light, triune. Very good. One, purpose, love, light, and triune. And the way he is life, or the way he accomplishes his purpose, is through life, and then he added this little word, dispensing, dispensing. So now we're coming to this matter of the Spirit being the processed and consummated triune God. And the reason that we have this title is because God has a purpose, and he wants to accomplish his purpose by dispensing himself in his Trinity, into you and I. And to do that, he must become the Spirit. Amen. Write that down. To dispense himself as the triune God, right? The one God who is triune, who is life, who is love, who has a purpose, he must first be embodied in the Son, and then through the process that Christ went through, he became the life-giving Spirit. That's really the essence of this outline. For God to accomplish his purpose, he has to get into you and I, because his purpose is to be expressed on the earth today. And eventually, as a corporate body of Christ, for now and for eternity. That's his purpose. And to do that, he must get into us. We have to experience him. And it's by faith. The fact is, he's ready now. He is the life-giving Spirit, and that's the fact. But we have to believe that he is our Savior. He is the Spirit. And then when we believe, we then experience him. He comes into us. And all of you in this room, I believe, have been regenerated. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We all received him. Now we need to experience him day by day. And this is what this outline is all about. Let's read Romans 1 together. We need to see that the Spirit is also the triune God. The Spirit is not the last third of God. Triune God. And if you have your Bible, I want you to open to John 4, verse 24. Which is not in your memory. It's not typed out there in your memory verses. John 4:24 is a crucial verse in this outline. And if you have your Bible, open it up and let's read it together. John 4:24. God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit. And if you look at the note, you'll see this is the essence of God. God is Spirit. He is Spirit. That's his essence. His inward essence is Spirit. God is Spirit. Eventually, God became a man and was embodied. That's what our brother just shared with us. He became a man so that people could see him. He could be manifested on the earth. But through death and resurrection, now this triune God who became a man was resurrected. And in resurrection, he became the life-giving Spirit. He already was Spirit in his essence. And you do have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But there is a progression in the Bible. You may want to write that down. A progressive revelation of God in the Bible, so that you have different aspects or different titles for the Spirit. There's the Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. So now I'm going to read to you two more verses from God's essence. He is Spirit. Now, sisters, read Romans 2. Very good. When the Father sends the Spirit, we're going to read that verse in a minute, he comes with the Spirit. So underline this, or circle, with the Spirit. And this word in Greek, para, with, write this down, can mean from with, like a hyphenated word, from with. It means that it's coming from someone, but that person is coming with this person. He's coming from with. So when the Father sends the Spirit in the Son's name, the Father is coming with the Spirit to us. So we're going to read this verse in okay, so brothers, go to the memory verses and read John 14, 26. Hold on. Let's read it again, nice and together. We went as one man. How about, okay? John 14, 26. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all the things which I have given you. So here the Father is sending the Spirit to us in the Son's name. In the Son's name. Now, if I give you a letter, maybe I have to have it signed by a notary, I don't know. But if I give you a letter to go to my bank account and empty it out, you know, to the bank, I'm sending you to the bank in my name. Yeah. But actually, who's getting the money out? It's actually, according to this letter, it's I'm getting the money out, but you're representing me. You are me at that time. So it's like I'm coming with you to take. This is in a similar kind of a, it's an illustration, but the Father is sending the Spirit in the name of the Son. So the Father, okay, let me read this verse to you, John 4, 10. I'm sorry, John 14, 10, which we don't have printed out, right? John 14, 10. Do you not believe, this is the Lord speaking, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? I say to you, I do not speak for myself. The Father who abides in me does his work. So when the Father is sending the Son, sending the Spirit in the name of the Son, then he is coming with the Spirit because the Son and the Father are one. The Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son. You know, this is the triune God. So all three are there. And this is the point that the Spirit, it's not just one third. I like the way the outline is written. Not the last third. The Father, Son, and the Spirit. They're all one third. No, no. This is the entire triune God is the Spirit. The entire triune God is the Son. The entire triune God is the Father. They all, we cannot separate them essentially. You cannot divide them. You can't separate them. But there is this point about a progressive revelation, which we'll get to in just a second. Okay, now sisters, can you read 15:26? That's in your memory verses there. Ah, sisters, one more time. As one man, okay? John 15:26. Good. Talks about this matter, he puts these two verses together. Now, the Lord Jesus said, when the Comforter come, he was talking to his disciples, whom I will send to you from/with the Father, the Spirit of reality proceeds from with the Father, he will testify concerning me. Here, the triune God is just wrapped up in this verse. I don't know how to describe that. It's like a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. I mean, it's just all right there. You take a bite and everything is there. It's a silly illustration, but anyway, everything is here. Everything is here. And I always enjoyed, Brother Lee, putting these two verses together. The Father is sending the Spirit in the name of the Son. Now, the Son is what? Saying the Comforter whom he sends will come with from the Father, from with the Father. That's that same. The Spirit of reality, and he will testify concerning me. So you have this marvelous point. Okay, so under Roman 2, A says the Father is the source, and the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son. I read that verse to you, John 14:10. B says, so when the Spirit comes, the Father and the Son also come. And those are those two verses. When the Spirit of reality comes, the Father and the Son also come. And we, as New Testament believers, are receiving the Spirit of reality. So we have the Father and the Son and the Spirit in us. But it's interesting. In our experience, we feel there are three gods inside of you. Never feel that way. You just feel that the Lord is with you. God is with you. And, oh, Father, you love me so much, Father, right? You just feel that the entire triune God is in you. That's our real experience of this marvelous triune God. Okay. Okay, Roman 3. Let's read it all together. In John 14, 26, Holy Spirit comes in the name to be the reality, just that much. He comes to be the reality of this name. And even in Isaiah 9, 6, you saw a lot of items in this name, right? He's the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's everything. So the Spirit is the reality of this name. He is bringing all of the triune God into us and making him real to us. Then let's continue it. Quote, in my name, altogether, in my name means in the Son himself. The Spirit is the person, the being. This is a little convoluted, but it's very precious. Let's read the whole thing again together. Roman 3. In John 14, 26, the Holy Spirit comes in the Son's name to be the reality of the name. In my name means that the Son himself, the Spirit is present, the being of the Son. In the Son himself, the Spirit is the person, the being of the Son. This is what it means, in my name. The Spirit is really the being, the person of the Son, in my name. Okay, now, Roman 4 says, and this last part is the main burden of this outline, the Spirit is just the ultimate consummation, the final expression of the triune God. So here we come to this point that I mentioned earlier about the progressive revelation of the Spirit in the scriptures, from the Holy Spirit to the Spirit in incarnation, right? Mary was begotten of the Spirit, and then Christ is the embodiment of the triune God. And then you have the Spirit of Jesus, you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the, eventually you have the life-giving Spirit. But I want to read these verses from John chapter 7 to you, because that talks about this phrase, the Spirit, a simple phrase, the Spirit. Write that down and write down the verses, John 7, 38 and 39. I'm going to read from 37. This was at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord Jesus stood up. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said concerning the Spirit. This is the phrase, the Spirit, whom those who believed into him were about to receive. For the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is a very accurate translation of the Greek. Many translations don't understand this. They don't understand, wasn't the Holy Spirit already there? How can you say the Spirit was not yet? So they mistranslate it to fit their natural concept. But this is very crucial. The Spirit was not yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. He had not yet been crucified. He had not yet been resurrected. He had not yet and receive the name which is above every name. He had not yet been glorified, which means that this term, the Spirit, has to be the consummation of the experience of the triune God in becoming available to us and able to dispense himself into us. So I'm going to draw this diagram that probably most of you have seen many times. But in eternity past, God was all alone there, in a sense. The triune God was there, right, in Genesis 1:1. Then, in John 1:14, right, the Word became flesh, and we call that incarnation. God became a man, right? The Holy Spirit, Mary was begotten of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus was begotten in her womb, and God became a man. That's the incarnation. Then he passed through 33 and a half years of human living, which is a very important part of this process, is human living. We're going to talk a lot about that this week. Now, God in eternity past never had a human body. He never experienced what it was like to be a man. But here is the beginning of the four major steps of Christ. This is God's process to get into us. First of all, he has to become a man. There's a lot of reasons for this. We don't have time to get into all of them, but one major one is that God doesn't have human blood to shed for our sins, to redeem us. And he wants to redeem us because he needs to forgive us of our sins so he can get into us, right? So a lot has to transpire. A lot has to take place. And this is this first major step. But also, he needs a normal human living. God has never been limited until this. He can be anywhere at any time. He can be everywhere at all times. Never been limited. But think about 9 months in Mary's womb. That's limitation. And it's also what we all have experienced, although I don't think anybody remembers it. But we all had to pass through that. He had to experience that. And then he had a normal human life. He grew up, he was a toddler. He was a young child. We have a little window when he was 12, going into the temple to talk about the things of his heavenly father with the priest there. And this interaction with his mother when they lost him. That's a very precious story to see how, even being so misunderstood, he didn't get lost. They left him. And then they came and rebuked him for, not being with them. And I mean, if it's any of us, we'd go, "Mom, come on, you left me. What's going on here?" We would have talked back, but he couldn't talk back. And he didn't talk back. He still honored his parents, respected them, and went with them back to Bethlehem. Why is that important? Because he must have a human life without sin. Think about it. Without sin. That means he couldn't talk back to his mother or father once. Couldn't talk back once. Even his attitude couldn't be negative once. Then he couldn't save us because he would be a sinner himself, right? Anyway, his human living is very, very crucial. Then he went to the cross and he was crucified. Actually, wow, I'm running out of black here. Okay, on the table. Thank you. Actually, let's use the scripture for he walked to the cross. It wasn't that they, he knew the cross was where he had to go. Even though he prayed before that in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If there's any way this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He knew this was God's will. He had to go to the cross to die for you, to die for me, so that his blood could be applied to my sins and your sins, and every sin that every man has ever committed, were laid upon him on this cross. That's what our brother was talking about. That is the expression of real love. He loved us to that degree that he would walk to the cross and bear that, those sins, all of our sins, every sin you've committed, you will commit, every person on this, on the earth, born from the beginning of time until the Lord comes back, all of our sins were laid on him. And he bore, he tasted God's judgment for those sins. He took the cup of wrath and drank it so that we could have the cup of blessing. And I hope, young people, when you go to the Lord's table every week, this when you see the bread there, and when the brothers break the bread, you realize that's this. That's representing his body being broken for us. Every week when I hear that bread crack, I'm touched because I know what it represents. His body had to be broken for us. And all our sins, he took the cup of wrath that we could have. And then we have the cup of blessing here for us. We're drinking. We have all the blessing of God. Why? Because he took the cup of wrath. He drank it for us. So this is part of the process. Incarnation, human living, and crucifixion, a big part of the process that God went through. Then, right, after he gave up his life for us. He walked to the cross. They didn't kill him. He actually gave up his life. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. And he was buried for 3 days, right? But, praise the Lord, death could not hold him. Amen. Could not hold him.
Amen.
And when he left, he took the keys of death, which means death cannot hold you.
Amen.
Because you have the one who has the keys in your spirit. Amen. Whenever you feel oppressed and depressed and death, the enemy's coming in, you just have to say, hold it. Christ has overcome you, Satan.
Amen.
And he has the keys.
Amen.
You can't hold me any longer.
Amen.
Turn to the Lord and be released, right? And then in resurrection, this is 1 Corinthians 15:45. Probably just the last half is enough, right? We have that verse here. Yeah, let's all read 1 Corinthians 45 at the end. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit. So here he became the life-giving spirit. So that what? So that the vessel that God created with three parts could receive the triune God into our human spirit. And now your human spirit is not empty. And it's not just that it contains the triune God, but there's a mingled spirit now. Whenever you touch your spirit, you immediately touch God, who is spirit.
Amen.
You're touching the triune God. There's no way to contact, you know, to turn to your spirit and not get God, because he's right there. And he will never leave. He is there all the time. Now, okay. Then let's come to Roman numeral 4. How about we all read Roman 4 together? The Spirit is just the ultimate consummation, the final expression of the triune God. This is what we're talking about. The final expression of the triune God. This is the process that God had to pass through just to get into us. Just to get into us. And Satan damaged us in the fall. Our body is damaged, our soul is corrupted, but he can't touch our human spirit. That part was preserved in every one of us and in every one of your gospel friends. Their spirit is preserved for God. Amen. So when you share those five words with them, they can receive God right away. And it's very, I just feel like now more than ever, young people, we need to be those preaching the gospel to our friends. All of our classmates should at least know our testimony and know how to get saved. Whether they want to get saved now or not, that's up to them, right? God gave them a free will, and we're not forcing anyone. But you're planting seeds in them that will bear fruit, I guarantee you. If you love the Lord, you're abiding in the Lord, when you share with others, they will remember it. They may not remember right now. You know, a little bit of a testimony. When my wife was in high school, at a football game, someone gave her a gospel track. I mean, this is a high school football game. And she gets this track. She said, "What? No, what kind of a nerd gave me this?" You know, I mean, it was, you know, she thought this guy was, you know, whatever. So, but anyway, she put it in a purse, right? And later she read it. She read it. And she didn't get saved right then. A couple years later, she came to college in New York and she got saved in New York. But as soon as she got saved, she remembered that track. She remembered that track. So that seed was planted there. And that allowed her to be saved a few years later. It's the same with us. My high school closest friend, in college, my closest friend, I preached the gospel to him, I don't know how many times. And I was, you know, trying to get him to pray with me. And say, no. But eventually, 14 years later, or I don't remember, 15 years later, he called me up, "Dennis, I got saved. And I thought it was so, I mean, I wept. It was so sweet, you know. But he remembered I was the one that planted the seed. And he didn't get saved till much later. But, you know, just plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. They will grow. They will grow. I went out to see the garden today. I don't know if you've gone to see the garden. They got corn growing. It's coming up. They're going to have corn soon. And they got poles on, beans on a pole and all that, you know. They've got some good vegetables out there. Anyway, plant the seeds. It's worthwhile. Okay, I want to end with these 2 points, and I want you to underline these. So many things here. When we receive the Spirit, we receive the triune God. That's A, right? Now, listen to this. All that the Father is, planned, circle each of these words, and willed. All that the Father is, and he planned this, he willed this, all of that, plus all that the Son has accomplished. He accomplished incarnation. Obtained. He obtained a human body, right? And attained. He attained to the highest place in the universe, right? And what did he attain here? He attained a full redemption. He accomplished a perfect redemption. Are now made real and available to us. Where? In the Spirit. All of this is made real to us in the Spirit. How can the reality of God be real to us? It's only when we turn to our spirit, only when we're in the Spirit. And so this is what the focus mentions. And so I think we should read that together, the focus. Ready? All together. The burden in this lesson is to impress and equip the young people with the process that the triune God passed through in order to be consummated as the Spirit. This will equip them for their gospel preaching. We also need to impress the young people that since the Spirit is the processed, consummated triune God, then everything they need, underline that, everything you need of God, everything that you need of God. Now let's finish the sentence. Then everything they need of God is in the Spirit. Right. And then continue. Therefore, now we should say we. Let's not say they, okay? Therefore, we must learn, exercise our spirit in a practical way by exercising functions of our spirit. Conscience, in order to contact the triune God as the Spirit. You need to exercise these three functions. Underline them. Conscience. We need to take care of our conscience. Whenever you feel, oh, I shouldn't have said that, just repent right there. If you need to apologize, if you said something or, you know, or wrote something, texted something, if you feel, just right away apologize to that person. Repent to the Lord and apologize. I'm sorry, I wrote that too quickly. Please forgive me. Take care of your conscience. If you will take care of your conscience, you will experience much more of all that God planned, will, Christ has attained, obtained, and the Spirit is applying to you. Take care of your conscience. And fellowship. We're going to have a little special fellowship a little later after our snack, about our morning time. Have fellowship with the Lord every day. A little bit of, open up to Him. Talk to Him. Let Him know what you're going through. He wants to hear from you. Okay, I've said this myself too. Oh, he already knows. Yes, he knows, but he wants to hear it from you. My wife knows that I love her, but if I don't tell her that I love her, I'm in trouble. She wants to hear it from me. And we're the same. We want to hear it. We may know it, but we want to hear it from each other. And the Lord is just the same, okay? And intuition. In order to contact the triune God as the Spirit. Okay, and your reading assignment is the last, again, these last paragraphs of these chapters are good. The last paragraph of your chapter in the lesson book is very good. It's talking about the Spirit is, quote, Lord Jesus, since he came in the name of the Son. So when we call Lord Jesus, we get the Spirit. It just talks about calling. Don't just call in the morning, call in all day long. Call all day long. It really helps you to get to the Spirit. It's wonderful. When I was working in Manhattan, I'd be on the subway platform there. And I can call on the Lord on the subway platform, but not very loud because there's people around. But when that train rolls in and it's 100 decibels, oh, Lord Jesus, no one can hear you. Good time to call. Good time to call out loud, okay? So I'm finished. Let's finish here. And should we have a few prayers or something? Or-